ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
So we'll recite a verse which is well known in India, which many people recite when we go to distribute Bhagavad Gitas.
Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bhur ma te sangostva karmani.
In the beginning of this lecture, His Grace Baladev Prabhu said several things about me, which are great exaggeration. I don't deserve any of it. But especially when He announced one thing, I was about to laugh. Because He also included that I am a great cook, He said. One time when I cooked upma in Pune, when Bhaktirasam Maharaj came to my room, it was like a Britannica biscuit. So Maharaj ate and said, you know, it's very purifying, he said. So my chapatis are also like a biscuit only. So honestly speaking, I am not a cook, but Gauranga Prabhu cooks and I serve prasad. I become assistant to Gauranga Prabhu to serve prasad. So like this, many other things I can tell you. If I tell you everything, then you will drive me away. So, anyway, when we go for giving our presentations, we are always glorified million times more than what the truth is. Out of Vaishnava nature, devotees always profusely glorify us. So, this shloka which we recited just now, is a very famous verse in India. Many people know only the first part. Karmanyeva adhikaraste. Bas, kaam karo, kaam karte raho, bas. Keep doing work. The second part is not known to people. Maafaleshu kadachana. You see, the second part says, you do the work, but don't be attached to the fruits, it says. So one Indian boy went to America. This is the only shloka he had memorized. And he was telling his friends this verse. And he was telling, you know, don't worry about the result of the examination. You just write the exam. So his friends asked him, oh, are you not concerned about your getting distinction? Or at least a first class? Or at least a pass? You know? So the boy was a little bewildered. This is the first time he thought that I am actually concerned about the result when I do the examination. Similarly, imagine a lady is cooking in the kitchen. She says, Ma phaleshu kadachana. She closes her eyes and takes a lot of salt and throws in the plate. Ma phaleshu kadachana. Isn't it? So, is this the meaning of this verse? That we should never care for the result? Actually, most readers of Bhagavad Gita, because they are impersonalists, they exactly do not know the meaning. Only a devotee like Srila Prabhupada can explain the meaning of this verse properly. Actually, the meaning of don't be attached to the results means you don't take the result, but give the result to Krishna. Once upon a time, a boy in India felt, you know, his parents are very much choking his freedom. They are always after him. He actually wanted to go to a place where he can be free to do whatever he wishes to do. So he completed his engineering, all with the blessings and financial support of his father. But then when he passed out from engineering, he went abroad. And while he was flying in the plane, he thought, now I am a free bird now. I can just go to America and enjoy freely. I can do whatever I want. While he was in India, he was a pious boy. So he was controlling, you know, his taste for bad habits. But in America, he thought, I can smoke, I can drink, I can wander with women, I can do whatever I want. I am scot-free, he thought like that. So, as soon as he landed in America, he saw in his laptop, in his email, his father had sent a mail saying that, "Beta, I am very happy you got a job for $5,000 monthly. You keep $1,000 with you and every month send me $4,000. So the boy was shocked. He thought, if I have only $1,000 from my room to company and company to room, I can't go elsewhere. $1,000 is just a hand to mouth. So he was very frustrated, but he didn't express his anger to father, because father is a respectable person. So he just was grudging and tolerating himself. And every month he would send $4,000 to father, because father has asked him. So 5 years passed. After 5 years, father said, "Beta, come back now. It is time for you to get married now." And father was settling him in life. So they saw a girl and they settled down. The day of the marriage, the father gave him a checkbook, which was actually $4,000 multiplied by 12 into 5. So you can guess how much it must be. So it is like $48,000 multiplied by 5 means almost like, how much it will be in crore? How much Indian money will it be? It's a very big amount. So the boy saw the amount. The father is returning penny to penny, everything to me. And he was very surprised. He asked his father, "Papa, why are you giving it to me?" Father said, "When you are going to America, you are alone. I was sure that you will get spoiled. So I took all the money from you. Now that you are married, your wife is a policeman for you." she will never let you go on the wrong path. You cannot call any woman on your mobile without wife's knowledge. You cannot smoke or drink. So because she is the finance minister at home, so I am giving you back, he said. Similarly, Krishna tells Arjuna that the living beings in this world, if I give them the fruits for them to enjoy, they will hurt themselves. That is why I take the fruits and keep with me. And when they become pure devotees, I give it all back to them. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada went with 40 rupees to America and he came back with 40 crore rupees. And Krishna gave him very liberally, because for a pure devotee, Krishna can give any amount. Because they will never misuse it. But because we have a tendency to misuse, he says, "Ma phaleshu kadachana." He says, don't keep the results with yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Like that he says. So, this is a very important verse. You all have seen the Gita cover page, isn't it? So, the Gita cover page, like you see here, Krishna is riding the chariot of Arjuna, and Arjuna is behind him. So, this picture exactly says what we are talking now. It says that Krishna is actually holding the ropes of the chariot. What does that mean? Of the horses. Which means Arjuna has given the ropes of his life in Krishna's hands. Which means he has accepted God wholeheartedly in his life. This is the first step in our life. Acceptance of God, alignment with God, acting on behalf of God, acting for the pleasure of God. These four things are the essential message of Gita. So first, acceptance of God means we hand over our life to him. Which means we agree to be guided by him. Arjuna is telling Krishna, "Krishna, take my chariot and drive the horses. Whomever you tell me to fight with, I will do. You want me to fight with Nivata Kavachas, I will fight. You want me to fight against Karna, I will fight. Whatever you say, I will do." So that is why you see in this picture, Arjuna has given the ropes to Krishna. And which means Arjuna is not acting independently. Like you know, one of his students has been for 1 year in Krishna consciousness. So recently, some 400 or 500 students had come, those who have completed 1 year. Now they have come to 16 rounds of chanting Hare Krishna. So I asked a question to them, "What, you know, change of heart has happened in you in this 1 year? Some special change you have brought about in your life, something very positive." So one boy raised a hand and said, "Sir, 1 year ago I used to eat vada pav in Karjat. Now I eat vada pav only in Govindas." Of course, all our boys were laughing also. But then I told the boys, "You can't laugh, you know why? Because he is eating vada pav in Govindas means he knows it is prasadam. With that knowledge he is eating. And he also does not eat things which Krishna prohibits. what Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam. If Krishna included andam mamsam, then we can eat that also. Krishna doesn't include. So this boy has given up eating other things, which is certainly a progress, is it not true? So this is the meaning of aligning with Krishna. Accepting God, aligning with God, what he says. So, if you see in this picture, Arjuna is telling Krishna to ride the chariot, but is he going to sleep in the chariot? Anyway, Krishna is riding the chariot, now what should I do? No, he is also taking initiative. He is taking the bow and arrow in his hands and he is fighting. So, God and the living entity are co-workers. So, we are co-worker with God. So, by God's grace and by our endeavor, we will succeed in life. So, we need both. Just like you are studying in a college. So, you go to the classes, you do the assignments, you write the tests and everything, you please the teacher, then the teacher will give you good marks. Isn't it? So, it's a cooperation between the student and the teacher. Isn't it? Similarly, you sit for an interview. So, your success is in the hands of the interview panel. You have only power to give the interview. After that, can you control the panel people? If you tell them, if you don't give me a job, I'll shoot you. You can't say that. Correct, no? You finish the interview, come back, and then they may give you a job. Similarly, if you are a farmer, you only have the power to sow the seed. But God has to give the reins. When he gives the reins, then it will grow. Then the plant will grow and fruits will come. In this way, you will find our role and God's role is always there in everything in life. Even the students who say good luck, bad luck and all that, they say, good luck doesn't fall from the sky. Good luck has a good luck awarder. God is a good luck awarder. Only foolish people think good luck or bad luck comes of its own accord. Just like if a child were to stand in the airport, you know, the door would open. That doesn't mean if you ask a child, how is the door opening? The child may say that because I have to go inside, it's opening. But that's a sensor, isn't it? Like first time when I went to airport, you know, I wanted to wash my hand in the wash basin. I asked the cleaning man, where is the knob? There is no knob in the top. He said, no, you put your hand, water will come. I said, is it magic or what? He said, I also don't know how, but if you put hand, water will come. So, anyway, I had faith in him, I put and the water came. But then, you all know why the water is coming, because we are blocking a sensor path and the water comes. So, there is a pre-arrangement there. It is not by chance. There is a Similarly, the airport door opening is not by chance. There is a pre-arrangement. Similarly, the pujari's altar door opening is not by chance. Pujari opens it. Is it not? Sometimes two pujaris are hiding behind the door slowly opening it. It appears like door is going on its own. So behind everything there is a pre-arrangement. There is a pre-arrangement. So Arjuna is not telling Krishna, anyway Krishna, you are there to take care of me. You are riding the chariot. You only fight the battle. I'll go to sleep. He doesn't say that. If Krishna were to fight the battle, Mahabharata, you know, the whole book will be only one page only. What it will say? Krishna came in the beginning of battlefield, all the people were blowing their shang, and Krishna took his Sudarshan chakra and cut off the heads of everybody, and thus ends Mahabharata. Isn't it? And Krishna didn't do that, although he was capable of doing it. Do you think he's not capable? He was capable. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to endeavor also. Actually, Krishna never told Arjuna that you won't have any trouble in life. He told him, you will have trouble, but if you think of me, I will come. And I'll be there to help you. Arjuna may say, why should I think of you and why should you help me? You only take care of everything. No. Krishna says, then only there can be leela between Lord and the devotee. So, 18 days war and Krishna is with Arjuna and many wonderful exchanges happened between the two, intensifying the love between the two. Between the two great friends of the world has ever seen, Krishna and Arjuna. So, in this way, your best is our part. And leave the rest is God's part. So both are there in this. That's why this picture of Krishna Arjuna in the chariot, it teaches us a very great lesson in our life. That we should do our part and then God's blessings will come in our life. And in whatever way it comes, we have to accept it. So, go to the next one. Yeah. So there are two formulae in this. If you remember this two formula in your life, you will develop a great courage and confidence in life, and you will become free from depression. Very nicely if you understand it and apply it in your life. Because this formula is said in Gita itself. First, he says, do your best. Your best is not the best. See, the best is superlative, whereas your best can be anything. Like, you know, Hanuman is also helping in building the bridge, Setu Bandha. Squirrel is also helping. So squirrel's best and Hanuman's best are different, isn't it? It varies. But both their service is acceptable to Lord Ramachandra, isn't it? In fact, Lord Rama took notice of Hanuman's service. And he put the three lines on the back of the squirrel's body, isn't it? So in order to appreciate the squirrel. So we have to do only our best. Our problem is we don't do our best. We are more worried about the result. Because, for example, even while studying for an examination, a student always thinks about the results of the exam. Like somebody is studying for GRE TOEFL. They open the GRE book, they see aeroplane there. Flying to America. Of course, you can go in aeroplane only if you get good marks. Otherwise, how can you fly? So, the problem is our mind rushes to see the result, good result. Some students are very strange. Even during the preparatory leaves before the exam, they will go around asking the other friends, how much you have studied. They won't study themselves. That is why we should do our best. Correct, no? We should do our part. Because we have been given with some amount of ability. That part we should do. At the same time, we should know it is not totally in our hands. Like it is said, God helps those who help themselves. We have to certainly do our part, but at the same time we should know that our contribution alone is not everything. Nowadays, modern man is so much proud. He thinks that, you know, where is God? Show me God. I don't care for God. Everything is in my hands. This kind of arrogant ideas have come in the modern times. And modern man thinks that, you know, we can, because he has made some progress in science and technology, he thinks he can do anything. But if you very carefully see, our power is very limited. Like Prabhupada was standing in Honolulu, near the ocean beach, and a big jumbo jet aeroplane was going in the sky. And one man told Prabhupada, Swamiji, scientists have become so advanced. They are sending aeroplanes, such big planes in the sky. Prabhupada said, yes, when petrol is over, it will come down. But Prabhupada said, but the other planets are not like that. You see, the planets, from the dawn of creation, the planets are revolving, going round and round. Because Krishna says, Gama vishyata bhutani dharayamyaham ojasa pushnami chaushadhi sarva somo bhutvarasatmaka. He says, I have entered those planets, Krishna says. When a pilot enters a plane, he has to come down. When Krishna enters a planet, it will never come down. It will keep going on and on. So one has to see God's inestimable power. Similarly, man may be very powerful in doing many things, but if you very carefully observe how insignificant we are, even one tiny swine flu which we cannot see with our eyes can kill so many people. Is it not true? When swine flu came to Pune, any train would be passing through Pune, all people will be having mask in their mouth. Complete. They will be blinking. Full mask. Because they are afraid, because Pune means flu in those days. And flu had come, they are so afraid, including scientists also. They are also blocking. Isn't it? So because you cannot see with your eyes, somebody coughs and deposits in the air, you go and smell it. Finished. Something which we cannot see with our eyes can kill us. Are we very powerful? Think about it. So when we very carefully observe how much are we controlled in this world, one has to look the world around. We can see that there are things in which we have limited control, but man thinks he has all control over everything, which is not possible. In fact, Kunti Maharani is telling to Krishna that, Krishna, you are going away now to Dwaraka. What will happen to all of us? Krishna says, why do you worry? You have your Pandava 5 children, they are all very powerful. And also, you can also take help of Aniruddha, Pradyumna, the Yadavas also. But she is telling Krishna, केवयं नाम रूपाभ्याम यदुभिः सह पांडव भवतो अदर्शनम जर्हि ऋषिकाणामिवेशितु. Krishna, these Pandavas and Yadavas are like lifeless bodies without you, she is telling. It's like a lifeless body, or like a wire without electricity. It's like that. Like you see the bulb is glowing here, because when you switch on the bulb, it will glow. When you switch it off, it will be switching off. That doesn't mean we are the controller. MSCB is the controller. Isn't it? Similarly, just because we are able to do something doesn't mean everything is in our hands. God gives us some control, but we don't have absolute control over everything. There was one doctor who saw some of our Hare Krishna devotees going to that hospital. And the doctor said, you know, even for you Hare Krishnas, you have to come to us for curing your diseases and everything. And the devotee said, it's all God's grace that we got cured in the hospital. Now we are going back, he said. So the doctor felt a little uneasy, he said. Why do you bring in God? I cured your disease. He said. You know. And the devotee said, yeah, yeah, you did your part, but then ultimately it's God's blessing that our disease was cured. So then the doctor was wild. He said, you people are just superstitious. For everything, God, God, you are saying. Didn't you see me doing the surgery for you? I only did it, he said. Then this devotee wanted to teach him a good lesson. He asked the doctor, sir, in your hospital, do people die also? He asked. And the doctor said, yeah, sometimes people die. He said, why are you killing people? He asked. So the doctor got shocked. He said, hum kya todi logon ko maarte hain? Unke taqdeer mein jo likha hai, wo hota hai. He said. So then he told the doctor, अरे वो लोग मर जाते तो तकदीर में लिखा है, अगर बचाते हो तो आपने बचाया, ये क्या लॉजिक है? So what is this logic? When people are saved, then you saved them. When people die, then God has killed them. This foolish, childish logic. So intelligent doctors, they will recognize God's hand. I went to Apollo Hospital in Delhi. There was a very good gentleman, one Agarwal. So in his table he has written, you know, I treat, God heals. It was such a wise statement. So he had a Bhagavad Gita also with him. So that fellow knows the philosophy properly. Do your best and leave the rest. I treat, God heals. This is the right logic. So in our life also we should know, ultimately the sanction is in God's hand only, in Krishna's hands. Without his sanction, not even a blade of grass can move. So that leads us to that other part of the formula, which is give up, worry about the result. Actually, when we can give up our worry, when we actually know how God is very powerful and how He is supreme control in everything. So in the next few slides I have shown that. You can go to the next one. Yeah, further. You can show the whole slide. Yeah. You see, whenever we do something, we have a desire to take the credit, always. When something wonderful happens, you know, then people say, then you ask, who did it? I did it. Everybody will raise their collar. If some blunder has happened, you ask, hey, how did this blunder happen? Somebody else must have done it. Blaming means somebody else. And good thing, myself, raise the collar. This is the nature of this world. So, that is why you'll see people have a desire to take the credit for whatever they do. Like one boy had done a project with three other students also. But he told in the interview panel that, sir, actually I only did the project. The other boy only typed it. One boy did only binding of that. And one boy just carried it from the shop. That's all. Rest of it all I did. So his idea was he wanted 200 out of 200. So the panel people told him, Acha, you did the whole thing. And then they told the very definition of the problem is wrong. They said, in the very first page, you have committed a mistake. So the entire work is wrong. That means you have contributed it mostly. Then he was bewildered and they proved to him. And then he cried out and said, sir, please honestly believe me. You know, I only did only small part of this work. So, in this world, there is a desire for grabbing the credit, you see. That is why first it's written, from doership to divine. We should be able to see the hand of God, how it is by His grace that things happen. So we cannot do anything without His sanction. And we have to eliminate the false ego and the doership feeling while doing the work and after completing the work also. So, while doing the work, we should think, I am servant of God. And as soon as we complete the work, we should give the credit to God. Like, you know, when people praised Prabhupada, Swamiji, what a laudable work you have done. You know, you went to the West and spread the movement all over the world. Prabhupada would immediately give the credit to his guru. He would say that, it's on the order of my guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I went to the West and preached Krishna consciousness. On the day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance, Prabhupada cried tears and he said, all of you, my American boys and girls, and my disciples, it's only by your help I could expand this movement. So, Prabhupada deflected the credit either to his disciples or to his spiritual master or to Krishna. And he says, you know, I am like a puppet in Krishna's hands. And he is making me dance. Like that he says. In fact, in case you want to get a deeper insight into this, you can read the 11th chapter. There is one verse. Krishna says, Tasmatmam uttishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrun bhungshvarajyam samriddham mayaiva yete nihita purvameva nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. Arjuna, in my universal form I will show you how all this Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Jayadratha, Duryodhana and company, all of them, all are going into my mouths, flaming mouths. Understand, Arjuna, that mayaiva yete nihitaha purvameva. I have already killed these people before. Then Arjuna may ask, then what am I doing? Isn't it? Krishna says, nimitta matram bhavasavisachin. You are only a nimitta only. In fact, this is Dharma Yuddha. And the vijay and the victory is going to be obtained by those who follow Dharma, namely the Pandavas. And the Kauravas who don't follow Dharma, they all will be finished and I can show you in my universal form. Like this Krishna said. Which means, by saying this, Krishna has proved that how much bigger hand he has in this work. Because if Krishna has killed all of them, then Arjuna became very confident. Because Krishna, if this is your will, it's going to happen, 100% it's going to happen. I will simply become an instrument in your hands. And I can very easily kill them because you are the ultimate doer, I am only your instrument. For example, say I am living in a room, so you come and batter the door. When I open the door, so you can say, what will you say? Radhesham Das opened the door. Correct, no? You will say. Or you can say, Radhesham Das's right hand opened the door. You can say. Or Radhesham Das's index finger and the thumb, both of them opened the door. You can say. If you see like this, two people may do a project together. But ultimately, because they are part of God, God only does it. So, in this way we can see, we are only a tiny part and parcel of God. And we have no independence. We are dependent on God. So when God sanctions, then only we can do anything. And that's what Lord said. What you are doing, Arjuna, is simply beating a dead snake. You know, sometimes in our villages we used to have snakes. So one time, all of our friends, when we were small boys, we heard, a snake is moving from one house to another. So we all jumped on the table. Everybody jumped on the top of the table and ready with a stick in case it comes. But afterwards the news came that the snake was killed. Then we all ran, everybody. After the snake was fully dead, we took our stick and bit the snake also. And next day we went to school and told our friends, I killed a snake, you know. So, like that, Arjuna also understood, I am only beating a dead snake because Krishna has done most part of the job in the Kurukshetra battlefield. And throughout Kurukshetra battlefield, you will see how much Krishna helped the Pandavas, you will see. That is why we should not have the doership feeling. Because why we should not have doership feeling? There is one conversation between Krishna and Jambavan, you know. You all know Jambavan. And Jambavan once, actually Jambavan is a Lord's devotee, Lord Ramachandra's devotee. But he was also in Krishna Leela. Somehow or other, he thought Krishna has come to take the Shamandaka jewel. So he started having a stunt with Krishna. So 28 days they were punching each other and having a fight. And when Jambavan punched Krishna, Krishna was laughing, enjoying. But when Krishna punched Jambavan, Jambavan's all nerves broke down practically. His whole body became like a balloon without air. You know, he completely collapsed. And he thought, he told Jaman, told, my dear Lord, nobody in this world can beat me down like this. You are so mighty, powerful. You must be Lord Ramachandra, he told them. And then, at that time, Jambavan told, in this world, people, those who are scientists, are so proud of some inventions. But who has given them the brain? Einstein didn't create his own brain. God gave him the brain. Nor can Einstein create brain for someone else. It is God who is the giver of the brain. God who is the giver of hands and legs and eyes and ears and nose and everything. You have given us the senses. You have given us the brain. And you have given us all this Panchamahabhut and everything. And the scientists are taking it and they are processing little bit and saying that we did it, they are saying. Isn't it? But actually it is you, my Lord. Just like in a mobile, if you see, you can talk in your mobile from here to America. Isn't it? But how you are able to speak? Because there are waves which carry the message. Did we create those waves? God created those waves. If those waves were not created by Krishna, then our mobile will be like the the box the children use for keeping pencils and all, you know. Our mobile will be like that mobile only, without these waves. So we are depending on God's support and man claims that I did it. We haven't done. Without God's, in fact, even the materials and everything we use, everything is provided by God. So Jambavan's logic is very, very powerful. And then Krishna massaged Jambavan again. And again Jambavan became strong. After Krishna gave a massage to him. So Jambavan's discussion, you can read, it's very interesting. He proves this point about how we are not the doer. Ultimately, God is, Krishna is the doer. Yeah, next one. Yeah. And Lord is all powerful. Yeah. See, we all have a desire to be very powerful, isn't it? Sometimes in a movie, they show a hero to be very powerful. Extremely powerful. Tshum, tshum, tshum. He just touches somebody and that fellow falls off. They show like, that can only happen in a movie, isn't it? Yeah. Actually, one of the heroes, the villain hit him in the belly or something. He's a famous hero, you all know, isn't it? You know, in one of the movies. He had to be hospitalized for some time. Because he was a hero, but when he got a punch on his abdomen, he had to be admitted in the hospital. Poor hero, you know. Because nobody in this world is extreme. Nobody can be as powerful as the Lord. You see, when I first read in Ramayana, that Angada went to the court of Ravana and kept his leg down and told Ravana, Ravana, is there anyone in your sabha who can shake my leg or move my leg? One by one, so many asuras came. Nobody could move. At last, Ravana himself came. Ravana tried to move the thighs, tried to move the leg. And he was practically catching the foot of Angada. Angada said, you are catching my feet, you see. You are falling at my feet. So this scene comes in Ramayana. When I heard it, I got spirited. So that afternoon I saw the movie. Evening I came, I called all my friends and I put my foot down and said, is there anybody who can move my leg? All the skinny fellows came one by one and they tried and they couldn't shake it. And then they all went and brought one stout fellow who caught my leg and I was upside down. So that was the end of my display of power, you know. So in this way you will see Prabhupada says people study books on Hitler because Hitler killed 10 million people. Stalin, Hitler. Prabhupada says don't study about Hitler. Study about that person who killed Hitler. And that is Supreme Lord. You know, the Supreme Lord, now where is Hitler now? Where is Napoleon Bonaparte? Where are all these people? Where is Alexander the Great? All big, great people have become small over a period of time. They have been wiped by the sands of time. And God, Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. I am the most mighty. In the form of death, I devour everyone. So, similarly, the Hiranyakashipu was a very powerful person whom Narasimha is defeating, finishing. When Prahlad saw this, he said, my dear Lord, my father Hiranyakashipu was so powerful. He was so mighty. Simply by the twisting of his eyebrows, he could control the sun and moon and all the devatas. He was so mighty, so powerful. And now you took him on your lap and tore him to pieces like an elephant, stripping your sugar cane. So easily you have done it. So I am not going to be a fool like my father, Hiranyakashipu. I surrender to you, Prahlad said. So Prahlad was intelligent. He understood how mighty is the Lord. So if you become Lord's devotee, you have the most powerful person with you. We are one and God is infinity. So one plus infinity is infinity. That's what was the intelligence of Arjuna. When Arjuna went to Dwaraka, he told Krishna, I don't want anything, I want only you. Most smart fellow, Arjuna. Because the other fellow, Duryodhana, he wanted the 10,000 Narayani Sena he took. Is it not? He thought he was very smart. So where Duryodhana was making material calculation, Arjuna was making spiritual calculation. And actually, when Duryodhana was sitting by the side of Krishna, and Arjuna was sitting at the lotus feet of Krishna, when Krishna said, you see, I am not going to lift any weapons, and both of you decide, one of you choose me, another one choose Narayana Sena. So Duryodhana was raising the hand, I will choose. But Krishna said, you are elder in age, Arjuna is younger. So the younger person should be given the first chance. And Duryodhana became afraid. By chance, if Arjuna chooses Narayana Sena, what will happen? What will I do with this useless Krishna? I was thinking like that. At that time, Arjuna, without hesitation, told Krishna, I want you, he said. And Duryodhana was so happy. He thought this sentimental fellow has made a wrong choice. Very nice. And then he told, oh Keshava, what can I do? I am only left with 10,000 Narayana Sena people. Bye bye, thank you. And Duryodhana went back very happy, thinking I am very smart. But he was a fool because he made a wrong calculation. Similarly, modern day educated people only consider the material calculations. They don't make the spiritual calculation. But those who are devotees of God, they are the most mighty in their confidence and courage. Why? Because they have God on their side. So, jayatu pandu putranam yesham pakshe janardana. The victory came to the Pandavas on whose side Lord Janardana was present. Although Pandavas were 5, Kauravas were 100, the victory came to Pandavas because Krishna was there with them. So it is said. So, Lord is all powerful. Next one. Yeah, one more. Yeah, yes, God is all-knowing. Yeah, you see, one time in the Mahabharata war, Duryodhana was very unhappy with Bhishma Pitama's performance. Duryodhana had a suspicion that maybe the previous one, maybe he thought, Duryodhana thought, Bhishma has a soft corner for Yudhishthira and other Pandavas. And then that day in the tent, Duryodhana told Bhishma, he wanted to sort of insult him, and especially Kshatriyas, if you speak some, you know, insulting words, you know, they get aggravated, you know. So he wanted to shake him up. So he told Bhishma that, you know, oh grandsire, you are not exerting yourself fully. You have a soft side for the Pandavas. Although you are on my side, you know, you are in no mood to kill them. I know it very well. If you don't want to do that, get down. Let Karna fight the battle. Karna has said that unless you get down, he won't fight. If you are unable to do this, let at least Karna accomplish it, he said. And Bhishma became extremely angry. Bhishma said the Pandavas are all virtuous and they are guided by Lord Krishna, who is the father of all religion and virtue. Who can defeat them? Their virtue is protecting them. Dharmo rakshati rakshataha. They are being protected like that. But still, because you have asked me like this, you wait and watch. Tomorrow I will kill all the Pandavas. And he took 5 silver arrows and he chanted a mantra and kept them on a velvet cloth. And then he said, these 5 arrows will kill 5 Pandavas tomorrow. Unless Lord Krishna employs some trick or unless he breaks his vow. I will never break my vow, he said. And then Duryodhana said, please give me those 5 arrows. He took it and kept it with him near his bedside. Because Duryodhana wanted to protect it very nicely and was about to sleep. At that time, Arjuna came in a simple horse. He came and got down and came to the tent of Duryodhana. In those days, kings would meet after the battle together. And seeing Duryodhana, seeing Arjuna, Duryodhana was surprised. He asked Arjuna, do you want your kingdom back? If you want, I will give you in charity, he said. Arjuna said, I am not going to beg charity from you. I will take it in the right way by fighting. Why should I take it from you like this? But I have come for another thing, he said. Do you remember when I saved you from the Gandharvas? you had given me a boon, which I said I will ask later. Now I have come to ask for that boon. So we learn one lesson, never give boon for the future. Hmm? Very dangerous. Huh? Same thing happened with Dasharath Maharaj also. Hmm? If any friend tells you that I will ask later, you tell him, ask now only. Hmm? Finish it off. You know? So he said, you are supposed to give me one boon. That boon I want now. He said. And Duryodhana said, yes, ask me, what can I give you? Give me those 5 arrows. He said. 5 arrows? He was surprised. So he went and brought those 5 arrows and gave it to him. And Duryodhana was perturbed. When Arjuna sat on the top of the horse, he was about to go. Duryodhana stopped him and asked him, Arjuna, wait a minute. How did you come to know of these 5 arrows? And Arjuna said, how can I know? It's all Krishna who told me, he said. And that night when Duryodhana was about to go to bed, he offered obeisances in his bed and said, maybe Krishna is God. He's all-knowing. Practically all the top secrets he knows. So maybe if he's God, let me offer him namaskar. And he did namaskar. Only one namaskar he did. After that he continued his nefarious business after that. But the point I told you this is why? Because Krishna is? Yes. There is nothing he does not know. He is all-knowing. He is in your heart, he is in my heart, he is in everyone's heart. There is nothing he does not know. Which means, if some suffering comes in our life, do you think he is aware or not? He is very much aware. Some people think that, you know, how can God be so cruel? Suffering is coming in my life and he's not taking any action, immediate action. They want God to sit at their right side and as soon as suffering comes, remove the suffering immediately. God has a purpose. We will come to that point subsequently in the future slides. But we should know that he is fully aware of everyone and everything. And he knows even our desire, my desire, your desire, everyone's desire he knows. For example, here Radha Gopinath is standing in the altar. If somebody is there near Prabhupada, that side, they are talking to each other, they can exactly hear what they are talking. Whereas myself sitting here, I cannot know what they are talking. If somebody is asking to another boy, Prabhuji, kaka band karne wala hai pravachan. Ye to chalta ja raha hai. I cannot know it. But who can know it? Gopinath can hear it. There is nothing that he cannot hear. There is nothing that he cannot see. He is everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. And not only his eyes are everywhere, his eyes are not blinking also. Chakshur yasya narishyati, it is said. Non-blinking eyes, yes. And his sarvata pani padam tat sarvato akshi shiro mukham sarvata shrutiman loke sarvamavritya tishthati. Sarvamavritya tishthati means he is there in every place, everywhere. You might have heard this story of that Gurukul boy. One guru gave mangoes to all his disciples and told them, all of you go somewhere and eat this mango and come, but nobody should watch you. So all the one boy hid in a blanket and ate the mango and came. One boy hid himself in a bush and ate and came. One boy went inside a room, bolted the door and switched off the light and ate the mango and came. But one boy came with the mango and said, sir, where is a place where God is not watching me? Now, God is watching me, but I cannot see him. But I know that God is watching. I am sorry, I couldn't find a place, so here is a mango. And the guru said, you are the disciple who has fully become realized, he said. So God is all-knowing. By knowing this, God is all-powerful and he is also all-knowing also. Yes. Oh, he is an ocean of love and compassion. You all know this. You know what is this picture? When Bhrigu Muni was testing who is supreme, he went to Brahma and insulted him by not offering namaskar to him. Brahma became angry. He insulted Shiva by words, by telling Shiva, don't come near me, don't embrace me, your body is shabby. Look at you, you are wearing all this ashes and everything. So Shiva took his trishul and chased after him and Bhrigu ran away from there. Isn't it? And then Bhrigu came to Vaikuntha and he went straight to Lord Vishnu and kicked him on his chest. At the time Lord Vishnu got up and he massaged the feet of Bhrigu and said, oh Bhrigu, my chest is hard like a stone and your feet are soft like a rose. I think you must be feeling some pain. Let me massage your feet. And by you putting your feet on my chest has become holy. And I think, by the way, Lakshmi will be very happy, because she resides here. My chest has become more softer by your association with your feet, and this kind of things Lord Vishnu was speaking. And Bhrigu started crying tears, seeing the humble nature of the Lord. Lord is extremely soft natured, and that is why he doesn't see any caste, creed, color, nationality, anything. Lord accepts everybody. You can be from any caste, higher caste, lower caste. Like you all know, there was a great devotee of Rama called Guha, correct? He was born in a very low caste called Nishada caste. So when Lord Ram went, he had to cross the river. At the time he wanted this Guha to help. So Guha took Lord Ram to his house. He actually, because they are Nishadas, he had brought some fishes mixed with some honey, and he gave to Ram, and Ram saw that this is non-veg, I cannot eat. Lord Ram said, I have accepted your love. Guha, thank you, he said, and gave it back to him. And then Guha, next day morning, of course that night something happened also. When Ram and Sita were sleeping at night, Guha was little worried about Lord Ram's safety, because he thought Lakshman is carrying the bow and arrow, He was little worried. He thought that Lakshman may harm Ram, So he also took a bow and arrow in his hand. So in this way, Guha was going with bow and arrow, and Lakshman was going with bow and arrow. Both were going round and round, and both were premi bhaktas. Both were great loving devotees of Ram, and they were saving Ram from one another. Whole night they spent like that. And next day morning, when Lord Ram said, now I have to cross the river, can you please help me? At that time Guha said, my dear Lord, I heard that you, in the frontiers of Mithila, you put your foot on some stone and the stone turned into a woman, Ahilya. This is very dangerous. If you put your foot in my boat and my boat becomes a girl, now I will have a daughter for whom I don't have any dowry with me. How will I get her married? It will be additional burden on me. So I cannot let you sit in my boat. And Ram said, then how will I cross the river? He said, but if I wash your feet of all dust, then I can allow you to sit. Lord Ram said, so be it. Then he washed Lord Ram's feet and he drank the water and he sprinkled it on the heads of all the family members. And he secretly smiled to his family members, I have tricked Lord Ram. In this way. And then he put Ram, Sita and Lakshman in the boat and took them on Nauka Vihar. Beautiful pastime. So he was a very low born, Nishada caste. But Lord doesn't make any such pakshapat at all. He is attractive to everyone, and in fact Lord Ram's associates are all the monkeys, isn't it? Lord Ram, actually Lakshman used to be upset with the monkeys sometimes because of their behavior, but Lord Ram was never upset. One time Lord Ram was sitting under a tree and monkeys were sitting on the top of the branches. And Lakshman looked up and said, do you have any common sense? Then all the monkeys jumped down. And they also sat. And the monkeys are saying, see, we are monkeys, we are used to sitting in trees. We are not very comfortable on the ground, you see. So, this is very amazing, isn't it? But Lord Ram would simply smile. I heard recently, His Holiness Gaur Krishna Goswami Maharaj was telling a very interesting pastime. He was telling, when Lord Ram's Patabhishek got over, and there was an invitation from Mithilapuri. Mithila, our Janaka Maharaj had invited. But Janaka Maharaj said, Rama, you come, bring all your brothers, bring all your associates. When the monkeys heard it, they said, we also will go with you. Lord Ram, cancel this program. Taking all these monkeys, if you go, they will create a big mess. Then after some months, again the invitation came. Then this time Lord Ram decided to go. Only Lakshman was a little reserved. But then when they all went, Lakshman handed over the monkeys to one minister of Janak Maharaj, who gave them accommodation and everything. And the minister said, 1 o'clock there will be a bell and there will be lunch. Nobody should come before that. But one of the monkeys on the second day rang the bell at 12 o'clock only. Then all the other monkeys came running with their plates. Prasad, prasad, prasad. Then everybody was, then they were asking, who rang the bell? Then all the monkeys asked, who rang the bell? Who rang the bell? So, when Lakshman was becoming upset with the monkeys, Lord Ram was laughing exactly the way you all were laughing now. And while they were eating their lunch, one monkey got a special mango. When he was pressing the mango, the seed flew up. And the monkey said, "For so many days we have forgotten jumping, jumping because of Lakshman's control. When I am seeing the seed jumping, I feel like trying to jump. So I will jump and show all of you I can jump beyond the seed also." And then when this monkey jumped, then all the monkeys jumped, everybody. And in this way, Lord Ram simply used to smile seeing this. So this goes to show how Lord Ram, with such monkey associates, he never took any offense. So Lord is an ocean of love and Karunanidhe. Sita is telling, when she got the ring which Hanuman gave, she says, "Karunanidhe," she says, "Oh, this is Lord Ram's gift. He's an ocean of compassion, the ocean of love." So much more could be said. If we continue with Lord's compassion, then the class will be over. So we'll go to the next one. Yeah, Lord is the Upadrashta. He's the observer. He's the observer in the heart of everybody. There are 13 sakshis, like the sun, the moon, the wind, the sky, the ocean, the earth, the Digdevatas. There are many like that, totally about 13 sakshis. One of the sakshis is Super Soul also. But Lord is the ultimate witness. Yamaraj also has the ability to witness the sinful activities of every jiva. But he cannot witness anything else, only the sinful activities of the jivas. He has the ability. But the Lord is the ultimate witness. There is no witness beyond him. Upadrishta means one who is continuously observing. Our good and bad activities we do are observed by him. Nobody can think that I will have a... This is the point I was making before also. That Lord's eyes are everywhere. Next one. Yes, Lord is the sanctioner. Your sukha and dukkha, it is ultimately sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. And whatever is written in your destiny, Lord is writing, only that much you will get. And you will see that. This is not at all surprising thing. Prabhupada says, in Ahmedabad, there was one doctorate student. You know, after finishing his doctorate, he could not get any job anywhere. The reason was, people said, "You are overqualified." They said, "You will join us, and within a month you will leave and jump to another company." Because nowadays people do that like that. So nobody was giving job. At last he started a soap company. And he himself would go in bicycle and sell soaps to the different, you know, shops he would go and give. On the other hand, there was one fellow called Modi. He had 50,000 people working with him. But Mr. Modi was an illiterate. He used to put fingerprint. He didn't know how to sign also. So Prabhupada is asking, "See this Modi, 50,000 people are working with him, but he has not even completed his 10th standard also." So from this what we learn is, we should know God has, you know, according to our Punya Papa, God has given us body. Somebody is handsome, somebody is ugly, somebody is rich, somebody is poor, somebody is very intelligent, somebody is very dull. So these are all sanctioned by him, and we have done the past activities based on which he sanctions. Now we are doing activities based on which sanction will come in future. Such kind of thing is there. And he is a sanctioner. Like one man was so fed up with life, he wanted to commit suicide. He climbed on a mountain top, and from there he jumped off. And as he jumped off, when he came down, there was a river flowing there. In that river, Rajakumari, along with her sakis, she was taking bath. But suddenly a crocodile came. It showed the mouth to the prince, and she was princess. And she became very frightened. And that is the time this fellow fell from the top. He fell. When he fell, all the crocodiles in water became afraid. They ran away. And all the princesses, sakis went and told the ministers and king that a great hero came from the top. They said, if he didn't come and save our princess, you know, the crocodile would have swallowed her. Then immediately king said, "Arrange a marriage of our princess with him," the king said. So this fellow became a king. They put a mukut and, the king, because king had only daughter, so he gave the whole kingdom to him. So this fellow was laughing to himself. He was thinking, See, any of you students have an experience, like one of my friends in our college days, in strength of materials, You know, he got 93 marks. And he secretly came and told me, hey, I only wrote for 40 marks. So, another topper in the class, he got 39 marks. So, some computer mistake happened. So, this fellow got 39, that fellow got 93. So, I told this fellow, hey, go and tell the teacher. Hey, shh, don't tell anybody. Good luck, he was telling. Good luck means, you know, actually in this way you will see many times, how many of you had experienced sometime amazingly something happened in your life without much endeavor on your part, your experience. Yeah, you will see that. God can sanction sometimes like this. Huh? So, He sanctions your pleasure and He sanctions the pain also. Huh? In this world, He is the sanction of pleasure and pain. Huh? So, our pleasure and pain at the time of birth is written in our account. This much quantum of pleasure, quantum of pain. So, we cannot appreciably change it. But one thing is possible. Like for example, take a Luna, take a Maruti, and take a Benz. From Bombay you go to Pune. Which will reach first, you know very well. Benz goes first, then goes Maruti, then goes Luna, isn't it? But if all three are going like this, if a helicopter comes and lifts the Luna, then the Luna can reach Pune first, isn't that true? And that is what happened to Arjuna. You know, Arjuna was destined to die entering fire when Jayadratha could not be killed, is it not? And then Krishna immediately took the Sudarshan Chakra and he blocked the sun and told Arjuna, Arjuna, Jayadratha is now coming in the front, hit him now. But then Arjuna was seeing the sky, it was completely dark. Then all the people thought sun is set. At that time when Arjuna hit Jayadratha, because Krishna told him, so he hit. Immediately on the Kaurava side, there were loud sounds. Fire upon Arjuna, coward! After the sunset, he has killed Jayadratha. Although he took a vow that after sunset, he will not kill him. Although he is supposed to enter fire himself, he has killed Jayadratha. You know, so they were all condemning. And Arjuna was plugging his ears. Alas, for a Kshatriya, you know, bad words, insulting words are more painful than death also. At that time, Krishna removed the Sudarshan Chakra. Again the sun was shining. And everybody was surprised. Kya ho gaya? Kya ho gaya? What happened? If God wants to change your destiny, nobody can stop Him. Because He is ultimate controller. And Krishna proved it. Not just once, several times. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So He is the sanctioner. Yeah, next. Yeah, this is the verse I told you. Lord enters each planet and He energizes them. Yeah. Is a maintainer of all jivas. There are 8.4 million species. Everybody is getting their quota of food. Because and we have to remember that we all have different type of food, correct? Like a lizard. Even you will see a newly born lizard, pink, and a very, very rosy lizard. When he comes, if a small butterfly comes, he'll put his tongue out. You have seen that? He is given the intelligence to extend his tongue, and he also knows that the butterfly is his food. We human beings, we eat some type of food. Cow eats the grass. Pig eats something else. No? Everybody has their food, you see. It's very amazing. And God gives food fitting the mouth and a tongue and the needs of every jiva, 8.4 million species. He's the maintainer of all. So Prabhupada used to say, scientists can create thousands of nuts and bolts, but they cannot create grains. They cannot create water. They cannot give milk. Do you have a machine where you put grass in the top, get milk at the bottom? No? You cannot. That's why you need a cow. Is it not? Yeah. So it's God has created all these amazing arrangements. They may say, scientists say that, no, there are some enzymes in cow's body. Then why don't you create those enzymes? You cannot do that. God has put the right thing at the right place. Like for example, our hair, here it grows like this. Whereas here it grows only this much. Why? Isn't it? Because if it grows beyond this, it will block the eyes, no? So it's Krishna's amazing design, you see? First class design. And here, you all would like to grow longer and, you know, comb, isn't it? Comb yourself stylishly and everything. So Krishna is giving that facility, but here he is keeping. So some scientists may say, no, here there are some enzymes. But God has kept the enzyme in the right place. He knows where to keep it. There is a design, there is an intelligent design. So, in this way, he is the maintainer of every... even if you see, there is one particular frog which lives inside a rock. You know, it's like elastic frog. You have seen that? From here, it can jump to the ceiling also. It's a very... it is not like the toad. Toad only jumps like this. That jumps like, you know, 20 feet it can jump like that. But that lives in a rock. And God knows how he gets food in the rock. God only knows actually how he gets the food. Because inside a rock, what food he gets? He survives for years together. Yeah, next. Yeah, next. Yeah. And also, in the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram, it is said that Bhupadav Yasena Birviada Surinilas Chandra Surya Uschanetre Karna Vasha Shiro Dhyavur Mukambapitahano Yasya Vatre Yamabdihi Antastam Yasya Vishwam Suranaraka Gago Bhogi Gandharva Daityaihi Chitram Ram Ram Yatetam Tripuvana Vapusham Vishnumisham Namami. And then comes that Shantakaram Bhujakashanam, all that. So this verse says, the sun and the moon are the two eyes of the Virat Purusha, which is also the Lord, for whom the mountains are his bones, the rivers are his veins, and the day and night are his closing and opening of the eyes of the Virat Purusha, and the Maya spell is his smile, and his front is religion, his back is irreligion, and the trees are the hairs on his body. Like that, there is Virat Purusha explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that says that sun and moon are the eyes of the Lord. So with sun, the Lord creates the vegetables, fruits, cereals and everything. With moon, he gives the juices, as it is said here. Six type of juices, isn't it? Sweet, bitter, pungent, salt, sour, astringent. And amazing, these different tastes are provided by him. Go next one. Through this only, he maintains all jivas. And then when we eat the different foods, when they go to the belly, Lord is residing in our belly as Vaishwanara Agni. This is one type of Agni. Like we say, Jatara Agni is the one which causes the hunger. And Vaishwanara Agni is the one which causes digestion to happen. You can ask the Ayurvedic doctors, they can tell you, this Agni is created in every living body. By the arrangement, Krishna says, I myself become this Jatara Agni and I digest. Scientists say, if you take one bread means, if you take a loaf of bread and take one slice, if you have to externally convert that one bread into blood, it will take you industries which will be a length of 3 kilometers distance. That much huge machines will require to convert it into blood. Of course, nobody would do that externally. But in our body, we are not just putting one piece of bread, we are eating quite a bit in the morning and afternoon and evening also, isn't it? How much is being digested, you can see. Krishna says, I am the digester, he says. Go to the next one. Yeah. And then 10 types of air with which he... Yes, next one. Yeah, if Lord doesn't help in digesting, you know what happens. We cannot even enjoy eating. That means with the sun and moon, he is giving all types of eatables for us. And then Lord also knows that our jivas have a tendency to eat too much. Isn't it? So he has given also some jadi bhuti also, medicines also. So that by eating the medicines, we can digest. He has given spices also. Like you see, this ginger and pepper and so many kinds of spices. Because he knows the jivas have a long tongue. They want to cook nice items and eat. So he has provided all kinds of spices to make the food more tasty. Very amazing. And then he has given medicines to cure our diseases also. He has arranged the digestion also. So these are all coming in the 15th chapter of Gita, Purushottama Yoga. If you read, you will see, you can understand how Krishna is the maintainer of all. Yes, next one. Yeah, he is ultimately the supreme controller of everything. Yeah. And he is a supreme friend. Somebody may say, Krishna says, I am Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the master of all the planets. And I am the supreme controller. Somebody may ask, are you frightening me that you are this, you are that? Immediately Krishna says, Suhrudam Sarvabhutana. Don't be angry with me, my living entity. I am your intimate friend, he says. I am here with you as super soul, only for helping you, to take you back home, back to God, he says. Yes. And he says he is also shelter. Yeah, supreme shelter. Next one. This is the second formula. So what was the first formula? Do your best and leave all the worries to God. Now, how do we leave the worries? all these lines we explained, what is the role of God in this world, you know. If somebody knows God is almighty, all loving and everything, then they can also live carefree. Like once in Dadar, I saw one mother was carrying a small baby, probably 3-4 months old baby. She had covered with a, you know, napkin also, and the child was peacefully sleeping. She was climbing up the staircase, you know, climbing down the staircase, you know, boarding a train, and the child doesn't have to worry which train to board, which platform. No worry, peacefully sleeping. So a devotee of God is also like that child only. He depends on God. And he knows that God is my well-wisher, and God is having ultimate control in his hand. We can depend. Similarly, not only we can take shelter of Krishna and be peaceful, we can also be courageous. Our Radha Gopinath Prabhu, I heard him speak once. He was telling that once a small boy was walking in the road and suddenly a bulldog came on the way. He became afraid and he crossed the road, and the bulldog also came running behind him. But then he crossed the road and he caught hold of his father's hands, and then he turned around and the bulldog was watching. He showed his shoe, like this, was kicking with the shoe. Get lost. And the dog went away after that. So Radha Gopinath was asking, how did this fellow get that confidence? Because he is holding his father's hands. Similarly, the previous slides which we showed, we have to develop a deep faith in these truths. These are all eternal truths. And when we develop such a faith, then like Arjuna has Krishna with him, he has no fear. He knows, I am completely safe. I am completely protected. You see, one time in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was one Nagastra which was used by Karna. You know. But what is this Nagastra? This Nagastra, is the Naga's name is Ashwasena. Ashwasena is the son of Takshaka. He was living in that forest of jungle? Kandavaprastha jungle. When once Krishna and Arjuna put fire to that forest and they were going around, that time Takshaka was out of station. Only his wife and son were there. Snake. All of them were snake family. So, that time Takshaka's wife died in that fire. But then the Ashwasena escaped. So he was very angry towards Arjuna and Krishna that, you know, that Arjuna had put fire to that forest. So he wanted to take revenge. So he came as a Nagastra and sat in the quiver of Karna. And he was sending signals to Karna. Psst, psst, like that. Karna, lift me up. Use me. Like that. He was sending signals to Karna's brain. He was sending signals. And then Karna also picked up that Ashwasena and put it in the arrow. And as soon as, even before he put it, jumped actually. It jumped and sat like that. He was very enthusiastic to kill Arjuna. Like that, he sat immediately. As Karna sent him, and it was coming, and Krishna saw, oh, it's a very great danger for my devotee. So, the next moment, Arjuna saw, you know, his mukut was taken away, and it fell on the ground, and all the diamonds studded in the mukut were all scattered on the ground. And Arjuna's ego was a little hurt, you know. He told Krishna, Krishna, sambhal kar chalao, you know, you should ride the chariot properly. See, my mukut has fallen on the ground. You know, Krishna told Mukund, your head was supposed to be on the ground. Krishna said, seeing that it is aimed at your neck, I pushed the chariot by 1 feet down. That is why your mukut went down, he said. And Arjuna said, thank you, I was not aware. And again Ashwasena flew up and sat in the quiver. You foolish Karna, try a second time. And this is the time Karna realized, hey, who is that? And Ashwasena said, I am Ashwasena, I have come to help you. Help me? I need your help. Get lost. He threw him away. And Krishna told Arjuna, see, Karna's ego has saved your life. Because he threw away Ashwasena. He didn't use that Nagastra anymore. Second time he didn't use it. Like this, Krishna was protecting Arjuna very attentively. See, Lord does not promise protection for non-devotees. But for devotees, he says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Lord says that, I protect my devotees. I am a well-wisher of my devotees. Tadami buddhi yogantam, I am a knowledge provider for my devotees. So, if you become a devotee, you have multiple advantages, Lord says. So, this is the second formula. We need a correct understanding of success and failure. That is the first part of it. Let me go to the next one. Yeah. So, in this world, there is a great craze for success, isn't it? According to people, like, you know, every mother wants their child to be first rank in the class. Is it possible? Only one child gets first rank. And all the mothers are telling, even a child who gets third or fourth rank, sometimes mothers, fathers tell, next time first rank you should get, okay? Okay, so you study nicely. You know? They push like anything. So nowadays there is a lot of academic fear children have. Especially some parents want their children to get into IITs. IITs and IITs. So because of that the children are very, they are afraid of parents also and they can't crack it also sometimes. When some students also, when they see the mobile call only their hands are trembling. Parents will ask the score, how much score I got and everything. Correct, no? So that is a very narrow definition of success, you see. Like 1.7 lakh students attend for CAT exam or something like that. Out of that, how many students get into IIMs? Probably 1,000 students, 1,000, 2,000 students get in. So what do you think of the rest of the students? Are they all muffs or fools? Just because they couldn't get in? See, they have cramped so much vocabulary, they have studied. That's not a waste, something they gained also. So, but generally people say, oh, you wrote CAT and you couldn't crack it, you remained a rat. Many people say, you couldn't crack it. People look down upon them. Correct, no? So, because of this, a lot of tension is created amongst the young people. Some people commit suicide because of this. You will see that. So, the real definition of success should be understood. There is a saying in English, success is not in the trophy won. It is in the race run, it is said. Even if one gets an opportunity to sit in an examination, you have studied, sometimes, you know, attending interview is also not a bad idea, because if you sit in a dozen interviews, you learn what not to do also. Correct now? Correct now? Whatever mistakes you committed before, now you will not commit again. Isn't it? If you are really intelligent, you will commit one mistake only once. You are allowed to commit new mistakes, not the same old one. No? Isn't it? So, in life also, we should learn to see the overall success in life. You see, Jatayu, when Jatayu saw in the Akashamarga, Ravana was carrying Sita and going, you know. He immediately flew up and told Ravana, Ravana, you cannot pass over this way. I have seen that you are carrying a goddess of fortune, who is the wife of the Supreme Lord. You can never touch another man's wife. You are supposed to treat like a mother. Now you are taking Lord's consort with you. He said, I cannot leave you. And Jatayu said, until my last, you know, drop of blood remains in my body, I will vehemently fight with you. And Jatai was very, very old eagle, extremely old. But still he flew up in the sky and with his wings, he was battering, beating Ravana several times. And with his claws, he killed the mule. And he tore open the kavach of Ravana also. And with his beaks, he was attacking Ravana also. And Ravana thought, it's an old eagle, I thought, it may not pose such a big problem. But seeing that Jatayu is very powerful, and Ravana also took his weapons and started fighting. So when he took the sword and hit the body of Jatayu, he started bleeding. And Sita would cover her face like this and cry. When Sita was crying, Jatayu was getting rejuvenated, more strength. He said, how can the mother of the universe cry? Then he attacked Ravana even more. And then Ravana cut off his wings. And Jatayu came falling down to the ground. Sita loudly cried and she blessed Jatayu while going. Oh Jatayu, you have practically laid down your life for my sake. So Jatayu earned the blessings of Sita also. Then when Ram came later on searching for Sita, he saw the eagle in a bloody mess, you know. Then Lord Ram wanted to teach the world another lesson. So he asked Lakshman, is this some creature which has swallowed Sita? Because there is a lot of blood in his mouth. He asked, then Jatayu said, my dear Lord, in this world others can misunderstand us, but how can you misunderstand us? Agar aap bhi misunderstand kar diya, hum kidhar jayenge? To who else can we go? Then Lord smiled and said, this is, Then Jatayu said, I have a news about Sita, I will tell you. Then he said, Sita was taken in this direction by Ravana. And Jatayu said, you will definitely get Sita, I am very confident, he said. Do you know why? Because you asked me, where is Sita? And I told you, Sita has gone in this direction. When we were conversing like this, the constellation of stars is some Vindhya, there is some constellation of stars. It's very auspicious. If anyone is searching for some commodity, if this constellation of stars is there and they get an answer, they will definitely get that object, he said. So in this way he gave his good wishes and he left his life. And Lord Rama cried out as much as he cried for Dasharatha's passing away. Like that he cried. So then Lord Rama performed the Antyeshti for Jatayu. So what do you think? Was Jatayu victorious or was he a failure? Why he was victorious? Because Lord Rama was pleased. Lord Ram was pleased, Sita was pleased, he was blessed, he was sent to Vaikuntha also. So I had in one of my books I wrote the title Victory Over Death. So this is the real victory over death. Because everybody has to die in this world. But we have to live our life in such a way that even after we die, our body has disappeared. But the activities performed by an individual will be remembered for a long, long time to come. So Jatayu was a success. Go to the next one. Yeah. There are many people having the wrong definitions of right. And actually, the right definition of success means if I am given an opportunity to make an effort, that itself is success. And also, if you get success after success, also there is a danger. People become intoxicated. You have seen, no? Like for example, you get a second class, then you want what? First class. Then you want what? Distinction. Then you want the first rank. Then you want to maintain the first rank. Correct? No? And as you keep doing it, over a period of time, you become intoxicated. Like we say, dhananda, madanda, kamanda, we say. Similarly, successanda also comes. When success comes, we become blind, we become proud, we belittle other people. So you can see that is why sometimes God also, actually whatever he does for us is for our good, to teach us good lesson. Next one. Oh, give up unhealthy comparison. You can guess what it is. These are crabs. You see? It is said, if you have a basket of crabs, no need to put any lid. Why? Because one crab will ensure other crab cannot climb outside. You'll keep them inside only. Similarly, people have a tendency that if I don't succeed, then that fellow should not succeed. If he failed, then no problem. If I am failed, no problem. If he is failed also. This is called as unhealthy comparison. See, animals never make comparison. Animals never think, a squirrel never thinks, see the giraffe, how tall he is. He never thinks like that. Whereas in human population, we find there is a lot of comparison. So, because of this, you see, somebody has a fair skin, somebody has a black skin, somebody is, in this world there is differences between people. And everybody is trying to set their own target and come up to that target, because of which the whole world is in a state of competition, great competition. But what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that according to our past karma, we are all given a particular model car. This body is like a model car. Some model cars go very fast. Some cars are mediocre cars, like I told you, Luna and, Maruti and Benz, an aeroplane and all that. So we have a particular type of body. Everybody cannot be handsome. Everybody cannot be ultra-intelligent. Everybody cannot be rich. And that's what people are struggling for. Nowadays the billboards and all they show, they try to create greed in people. Even people are watching Hollywood, Bollywood movies. Imagine if a man is watching a woman in Hollywood, and he expects his wife to be beautiful like her. Or if a woman is seeing Hollywood, great heroes, and she wants her husband to be like that. So, then both will be very frustrated. Isn't it? Yeah. Because the expectation level is increased too much. And because the focus is on the dying body. Perishable body. Body is simply a goni. It's only a sack. It will be finished. It will be given fed to the fire. But the soul is the permanent, undying thing. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, right in the beginning only, he said, Arjuna, you are not the body, you are the soul, Atma. So the real success of the soul is to become a devotee of the Lord. If you become a devotee, you don't have to worry about anything else. Other things, of course, you will somehow survive in this world, and you will pass on. And then when death comes, Ante Narayana Smriti will go back to Godhead. On the other hand, for being a devotee, you can be anybody. Hanuman was a monkey, he was a devotee. Jatayu was an eagle, he was a devotee. Is it not true? Anybody can become devotee. And you are a man, you are a woman, you are young, you are old. God doesn't say, I am the most beautiful, so you also have to be most beautiful. God doesn't say. Lord doesn't say, I am Lakshmipati, so you have to be at least Karodupati. God doesn't say that. He doesn't place any demands on you. Imagine if Radha Gopinath says, I am the most beautiful, you should be beautiful like me. We cannot become his devotee. He doesn't put any condition. The only condition is, you should render some service and do that service with some love. That's all. That is why you will serve. Even a squirrel is able to serve Lord Rama, you can see, by throwing some dust particles. So, Shastras repeatedly make this point that serving Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is very easy. You just give one tulasi, Lord is pleased. You heard the story of how once Satyabhama and others told Narada, you cannot take Krishna out of Dwaraka. And Narada said, but I need Krishna to be taken out. They said, no, we will give you equivalent of Krishna. You take jewelry. So they took a taraju, on one side they put Krishna, on the other side they put all their bangles and necklaces and everything. Although all the queens put everything, it was a huge pile, still Krishna seemed to be far more heavier. And it was like this only. Then when they called Rukmini, she just came and brought one tulasi from the garden and she put one tulasi. Immediately it went like this. Krishna went up and the other ornaments went down. So, you can purchase Krishna by offering one tulasi at his lotus feet. Is there anybody in this world, any great person who is satisfied with one small tulasi? You go to your IT company boss and give him one tulasi. Will he say, thank you very much. So it is only God is the greatest person and he is satisfied with the simplest things. Go ahead. Yeah, this is Jatayu, I told you. Next one. Yeah, this is the second part of the second formula. That God knows best. Be cool, my friend. That means, God knows best means what? Why he is doing what he is doing, he only knows. We don't know. And we should have faith that what he is doing is best. You see, whenever good things happen, we are very happy in life. But when something strange happens, we get bewildered. Like there was a man sleeping in his house. He was a very conjuice, very miserly person. So suddenly, one brick from the top fell on his head. And then his head cracked a little bit and he started bleeding. He screamed out loudly, so loudly that the neighbors came running. And they tried to bring a cloth and everything and tried to... And then they took him in an auto to the hospital. All the while he was shouting, no need to go to hospital. Just put a bandage, everything will be all right. Because he was afraid of spending money for the doctor. Even nowadays also people are afraid of the bills. Bills from the doctor. Anyway, he went to the hospital and the doctor put multiple stitches on his head and everything. So midnight he got up and asked the doctor, tell me the bill. What is the bill? Doctor said, bill is 2,000 rupees. He said, this is why I said I don't want to come to hospital. It's a small thing. I would have eaten a 2 rupee tablet he was selling. But then the doctor said, wait a minute. I got a news just now that your whole roof of the house fell down. He said. Then the man realized, if I was in the house, I would be chutney under the roof. Is it not? He realized that. So God took me out of the house and he protected me. So many times we are very short-sighted. We cannot see why something is happening in my life. There is always a reason. See, when you want something in your life, God is not giving you. What is the meaning of that? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. I'll finish in... I can finish 5 minutes? Should I stop? It's already, I'm about to conclude now. So, we should... this is one thing. Sometimes God gives his lap for us to sleep, then he gives us lap sometimes. And both are his mercy. And great devotees have that faith. You see, the Pandavas were sent to jungle. Their wife was insulted. Isn't it? The kingdom was taken away. But ultimately they became the king of the whole world after that. And Krishna did all this to bring about the whole Mahabharata. So, in happiness and distress, one should continue to remember the Lord. You heard the saying, Dukume Sumirana Sabkare. When there is a dukkha, people remember God, but in sukha also we should remember at all times. And so, this is the main statement, God knows best. If you know this, then we have no anxiety. Go to the next one. I think it's almost there. Anyway, this is a example of a butterfly. They say that butterfly comes out of a cocoon, you know. So one scientist thought, you know, butterfly, when it comes out, it takes a lot of trouble, the worm takes to come out. So he took a blade and cut it. So when he cut it, the butterfly which came, the wings were very partially grown. The wings could not be developed. Later on, the scientist came to know, God has created the cocoon in such a way that when the worm would squeeze its body, some liquid comes out, which causes the growth of the wings of the butterfly. That means the endeavor of the worm is necessary for the development of the wings. That scientist came to know later on. Similarly, God also sometimes, you know, He doesn't give us straight what we ask for. Like a man asked God, can you please give me a beautiful butterfly and a beautiful flower? So God gave him cactus and a caterpillar. So the cactus later on gave out a flower and the caterpillar turned into a butterfly eventually. But for that the fellow needed some patience. So in our life also we should know, if you have walked the God's path, you can be very confident of the ultimate success in life. If you walk the right path, that is success. The real definition is sticking to the norms and depending on the blessings of superiors. This is the definition of success. Stick to God's norms and depend on the superior blessings. That is actually success. So, that's all I think. You just keep moving forward. Yeah, further. I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity and God gave me a brain to work. Then, I asked for courage and God gave me obstacles to overcome. I asked for love and God gave me troubled people to help. Then we develop love. I asked for favors and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing that I wanted, but I received everything I needed, he says. So God knows what we need. And God, there are many things we demand Him which are dangerous for us. And formula 3 is combination of formula 1 and 2. Surrender to God and feeling of being blessed at all times. So this is 1 and 2 combined. So that's all I think. You move? Yeah. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Actually, what inspired me to choose this topic was, Srila Prabhupada perfectly followed this formula of do your best and leave the rest. Because if you read from the time Prabhupada is preparing to go to America, how much he did his part and how much he depended on Krishna. Especially when he is going in the Jaladutta, he wrote that poem, Markain Bhagavat. So that poem reveals how Krishna is depending on Guru's blessings and Krishna's grace, totally he is depending on that. And then he is putting his best endeavor. And in the way Prabhupada succeeded, nobody must have ever succeeded in the past or future. So, we have to learn from Acharya's lecture, Prabhupada, in the line, how they had such confidence. Prabhupada's courage and confidence in that old age came from shelter in Krishna. There are young boys who don't have confidence. And Prabhupada was a 70-year-old man who had such confidence. Isn't it? And in such an old age, nobody would dare to venture on a foreign trip. So, this is a very important theme in our lives. And whatever I spoke today, if it helped you come one step closer to Krishna's lotus feet, I would consider my pravachan successful. Because the end result of studying all the scriptures is that we have to awaken rati for the Supreme Lord, love for the Supreme Lord. Na utpadiye yadiratim samaye vahi kevalam. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So we don't have much time, but